first-hand opportunity both in Pakistan and in India to take a look at it. I said, I really want to talk to everyone I can. As long as I've been here, I probably wouldn't have called on you because I know you very well, a member from 68 at the convention and so on. But, and I've talked to state and talked to CIA, and I just didn't want to have brief her to talk to you. I was in
Army for
12 days.
Okay.
Islamabad, and then to Dhaka, which sounds easy, but it's not. You have to go down to Karachi, 900 miles, and all the way down the southern tip of India, and then up to Bay of Bengal. And I was the first member of Congress in 18 years in Dhaka. And
nobody knows.
Nobody knows. They all go into sort of the final, the political side of Kennedy, which is dangerous. I voted against restrictions on aid to Pakistan and also the Greeks, I might add. So I was received in a friendly way.
You were right,
Pakistan.
I'm quite convinced that was right. What much stronger would we have if we didn't?
I feel very strongly
that we just leave them in the hands of the Chinese, whoever else is aiding.
And so anyway, I was received in a friendly way in Pakistan, met Yahya. And in Calcutta, I also was received in the most cordial way. They really talked frankly. They offered to let me go anywhere I wanted. But on both sides, you feel that you're an instrument that they want to use to hit the other one over the head. And I came back convinced of two things. One, that the humanitarian problem is staggering. And it's not ending. I think what we've done has been magnificent, and I think your leadership in identifying the problem and doing something about it has been of crucial importance, especially in East Pakistan.
It is working somewhat.
Oh yes, and I think the fact that there is a UN presence is thanks really to our initiative, and I think it may really make the difference in what develops in the next few months. So I came back quite alarmed at the size of the problem and disappointed at the lack of so far. Others have done very well, especially in Pakistan, and really not enough. In India, as I said at a press conference in Delhi, the Soviet Union has provided 50,000 tons of rice, plus the vaccine, about $11 million in total. And you're talking about 500 or 600 million the Indians are putting into this. It's not enough. So as a member of Congress, I said, I'm concerned both at the size of the additional request. I hope you would be sympathetic, but Congress will want to know how much international support is it a bottomless pit? And is there sufficient accountability from the Indians about the spending of these huge funds? I came back primarily worried about the political situation, which has led to this hemorrhaging on the part of East Pakistan and the continuing flow of refugees, and also worried about the continuing indiscriminate reports of indiscriminate reprisal. So my basic feeling is one of apprehension about what may develop. I've been very much concerned that I wouldn't be able to get my thoughts down in writing before the war broke out. The reports since I came back sound to me quite alarming.
Yeah.
And whether they want to or not, I think the area is hovering on the brink of war. It could easily happen just by a small spark, a hot pursuit across borders, or mutual shelling of some kind. It could happen. And if there should be a deliberate move on the part of one another, of course it would happen. And the Indians are not reassuring. They keep talking about breaking points. I was told by one that there was no solution but a military one. Well, in my opinion, that's absolute, ultimate folly.
Aren't you back?
I planned a week ago, Monday, I spent 3 days, 3 days in Greece, and I'm not going to but I'm there,
alright.
So I've been very much disturbed about the fact that there really is urgency to try to move this away from any possibility of a deliberate resort to military action, to rally the balance. And the Indians are the ones who worry me most, because they have the military superiority, and the Pakistanis are very aware of this. I don't think they're going to provoke it, but they feel that the Indians are trying to provoke them into some move that would precipitate an attempt by India to impose a military solution. And what can you do to avoid this? Well, I would ask this out in the Rice Paddies, viewing the flight with 250,000 refugees in one camp outside of Calcutta. I say, Congressman, what is your solution to this? Well, I don't have a know is that I think everybody needs to put this right on the front burner of their consideration as something that is still manageable, because it hasn't fallen apart, but is very dangerous. And I can't help thinking, as I told Claude, 10 years down the road, we know there's going to be an India, and they're going to be SOBs to deal with then as they are now. But I think there must be, my feeling basically is, that we must find a way of mending our fences with India to a degree. And this is why I'm glad that Mrs. Gandhi is coming, because I think it will provide
another way that she'll be looking at me.
But not in the sense that we're going to choose between two, they're both friends of ours.
Yeah.
And she may make it life very difficult, I suppose. It may not be an easy discussion at all.
Never is.
But it does seem to me that somehow there's got to be movement. And of course, the place, as the host expresses it so inelegantly, is movement is in Pakistan. Now, how we can accelerate the process of giving East Pakistan the right to its own political destiny, I don't know. But the military in Islamabad must recognize that they've got a very tenuous hold on that area and continue military repression for whatever reason, no matter what the provocation of India or whatever, is just further alienating the Bengali population. And no one is going to be denied by having this dragged out, except, as the Indians say, possibly, the radicals, the Chinese, the ones who want communist state on their border. In other words, they talk as if they wanted an early solution, but I'm not sure that they're contributing to it. I really think. And they're very sensitive about using restraint. We don't need to use restraint. What do we do? Well, of course, they are. They're not helping things. But I think the basic responsibility must remain with the PACs. If they don't move, the whole thing will blow up or disintegrate one way or another, because I don't think they can keep the lid militarily on a country that big, which is bigger than West Pakistan, if the population doesn't want it.
Tommy, that's
provide a greater degree of accountability than they so far have shown themselves willing to. suggested. One of the Indian reporters in Delhi seemed to think I was criticizing the way in which they handled the assistance they'd been given. I said, not at all. I said, accountability is a natural thing for someone who's providing large amounts of...
What do you think our senators is going to be?
I would think that lend a sympathetic, it's such a presumptuous thing for me to respond.
Well,
you
ask
me the question, I'd lend a sympathetic ear to what she has, and I would surely, soft sober is what I would do.
You think that would work?
I don't know, but I do think that they are feeling sensitive for a variety of reasons, and just with your visit to Pakistan. I mean, it isn't fair that they associate all these things, and they exaggerate this military precarity. They are using us in a way as a scapegoat, unfairly, I think. As I said, I would think they'd be worried more about what China's providing in the way of assistance than the very small kind of assistance that we've provided since 66. It's a
real harsh stuff. It's so small, as you know.
Now,
this ship that they're talking about is $3.5 million. All of which is contracted for the incidents occurred.
But I think that there probably is a feeling that they'd like their hand held for this. I don't think
the horses.
Doesn't have to ask to do it.
I do that, but how are we going to get them to be reasonable? Well,
this is a tough. You see, these
things, they ought to be reasonable, but I wonder if the Indians want a solution. That's the real problem. I wonder if they'd rather just not see Pakistan.
Well, I think they want a solution in the sense that they don't want a real radicalization. In other words, I don't think they...
You don't think they want a radicalization?
They have good reason to want it.
Yeah, the Bengalis are no damn good in India either.
Oh, the political volatility in West Bengal is it's really a much more unsafe city than Dhaka.
Is it?
I mean, I had my own personal bodyguard. The house was surrounded with extra guards while I was there. They're even afraid to let Ken Keating come into town.
What is the town in West Bengal that you say?
The Calcutta.
Oh, Calcutta is in West Bengal.
No.
Yeah.
Calcutta.
And you see, what's happening, of course, is that you've got in a very heavily populated area with tremendous political instability anyway, and food problems, refugee population that in some areas more than doubles the local population, and the tensions between local and
sure.
So they have real interest to protect themselves, to get this situation behind them. In other words, I think they're honestly concerned that this is going to affect them. So I think these cities can stress the fact that they've got an obligation in their own self-interest to encourage, to permit conditions in East Pakistan to develop in such a way that there can be peaceful transfer of power, as Yahya has promised. In other words, they need to resist the temptation of supplying a Mufti Bahini and agitating in ways that make it virtually impossible for Pakistan to straighten this out. But this is, of course, a very modest scale, is what I'm struggling with in my own report. What do I as an individual say? It's nothing compared to what the President needs to worry about. But I'm afraid that, was it Bill Ryan who said that we've got to adjust to the realities of the present, or else we're risking the future for loyalties to the past. I think we've got to recognize that this situation is time not a favorable solution. And we may end up as a friend of Pakistan, but with the necessity of coping with Pakistan as a shell and have caused a needless deterioration of our relationship.
Another thing that concerns all about this is does break out into a conflict between Pakistan and India. It could expand into something far worse because the Chinese, I don't think, just as a guess, will allow Pakistan to go down. Whether they would then start moving on the Indian border remains to be seen, but they might.
Well, I would guess you have India should water it anyway.
Then you'd have a situation, but we want to worry. On that point. But then you'd have a situation where the Chinese should say move on the border and the Indians would come to us and say, God, we need some help. The Russians aren't going to do a damn thing for them except arms. The Russians aren't going to get involved in a war about that area any more than they would get involved in a war about Vietnam or Korea. But on the other hand, the Chinese might be in a position where they just couldn't stand there and let their friend Pakistan go down. Packers there, who lose quite soon.
I don't think they don't seem to except in desperation, have any feeling that there's any military solution. They at least recognize their inferiority. They realize,
oh, they say it's fine.
Well, their vulnerability is really extraordinary.
Probably not that high. The Indians, what are they? They say they don't want a war either, do they?
Well, not quite. They say there's got to be a solution to this. And they say by the end of the year. What kind of a solution can it be by the end of the year? Well, they say easy. And this is what they say we should be doing. They say you should bring pressure, public pressure, to release Mujib and have him go back to East Pakistan and pick up the
public pressure never works. Private pressure might. We are bringing some.
So I asked the question of what, you know, what is the condition of the situation with respect to Mujib and the ISF, he said he's charged with serious crimes and is on trial. No him, of course. Whether they feel that he could be useful as a pawn for them to educate themselves from the dilemma that at least Pakistan must represent.
Were you there before?
I have been to West Pakistan, India, in January
68.
And this was on relatively simple. What is our aid of any particular value? What is it doing? The Green Revolution. And, so that
is its
value. Oh, my end. But this is the first thing that pains me as a friend of foreign aid, which is sort of unusual these days. This is a disruption to what both countries need badly, and that's a continuation of whatever progress is being made in economic development, agricultural progress, and so on. This is a serious strain on both, and I'm afraid we can weaken the whole area, and we'll
let me say one of those here that is very, very important. Don't, I mean, continue to the best of your ability to see that we retain some stroke in Pakistan by not being so damn foolish as to, you know, cut off all our aid from him or aid from him. Maybe we can forget it. We're going to be able to help him.
No.
Well, and the same, you know, it's like him, they talk about the Greeks, the same thing. Well, now, and I'm supposed to be an individual who kind of cut off aid from Greece. I said, why? Because the Norwegians and the Danes and don't like them. I said, what the hell are you going to do? You're going to trade 20 divisions for 20 battalions. Just as cold as that.
It's almost as not a problem in a different way as the Greek situation. I think it's
unbelievable. Yeah, we prefer a different government and all the rest, but what is the alternative for Greece?
And they have no intentions, in my book,
to change
the...
No, I think they feel that... I understand that they're between a double fire there. The present leader is one who feels that he's really being pushed on the right as well as down. Is that what you found?
Well, I didn't meet Papadopoulos, but I met the number two man, Tanakos.
Yeah,
he talked about democracy. He talked about democracy without elections. So the dictionary requires elections to have democracy. You know, what he's talking about is the devil of tyranny.
Sure, he's the guy.
They're not about to be pushed by us. He's fighting the law. Yeah.
But don't they feel they claim that there's a group of younger officers who would rather go a hell of a lot further, right? You agree with me that that's true?
I don't have enough feel of that situation. All I know is that there's no easy, simplistic solution there on.
Well, they know that well. The Greeks are really concerned, though, that if they left the lid on, that they think the far left.
Well, they don't trust the democratic process. And if they don't trust them, they're not going to go very far towards them. But at least they're relatively healthy.
At least
that's
yeah, not the main thing we have to be concerned about. It's not the internal situation of the country, but their attitude toward us externally. Now, we get that across with some of these quadrants. I mean, much as we would like to have every country have a perfect government, just like ours.
Yeah, so we have a moralistic tinge. There's no doubt about it. But if it means that they pick on certain ones, then they're
morally better. We don't care if it's every single country's leading. God, that would be a more people that want to be here with the teal there than any that we have. Yes, well, why not? Does anybody ever raise a question about elections there? They never have an election. By that, you could read the New York Times and the Washington Post and go back in the mark for 25 years. I'm not sure there's a question about it, but everybody says we ought to be nice.
stuff in this field. It's not an easy operation because...
So easy, you know, to say, like we're talking about the Port Hall of Vietnam. Well, now there, he's got a decent kind of problem with democracy as it is. But you know what I mean? After all, a third of his legislature is people who oppose him. About 40% of them got the Senate. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Actually, it's been only been had experience 5 to 10 years. No, 5 years of so-called democracy. So he was elected without contest, as I pointed out. You start breaking relations, cutting off aid with people that don't have elections. You cut off aid to 2/3 of the countries in the world, as you well know, including most of our African countries. That really irritates my ears. I might get that when I give the rest of the countries. He's landed. Nations Association or school, perhaps.
crazy question to present about what I suppose I'm really saying, that I think if there's to be movement and to be meaningful movement soon, the only place it really can be is that Pakistan be done, which I suppose means that we really need to keep up private pressure to persuade them of the obvious, and that is if they're to maintain any kind of hold for two wings, in fact, even to maintain reasonable integration of the West, that they need to come to some arrangement, that they must see that. But it's hard to believe, if they see it, that they can't figure out a formula to move in that direction. In other words, maybe it is feasible. I hesitate to put it in my reporting to resurrect Mujib politically and send it back after all the water that's gone over the dam. But if they don't use him, they still need to find a way to have a loosening of the relationships and a lessening of the military repression, which I honestly think is causing them, is weakening their own position.
Well, the Indians, of course, on their side, have got to quit exacerbating the issue.
Of course.
They make the refugee operation awfully difficult.
But they bristle, you see. They bristle when you say both sides use restraint, you see. But they need to use restraint, and I think you just have to keep on saying, at least that's what I'm planning to say in my report. Well, don't need to impose on you, but I sympathize very much with your responsibility, and within so many areas, you see, about the Japanese coming in down. I wish I could, but
you know, he plays golf very well, Mr. President.
Oh, thank you very much.
Here's another bird coming.
Everybody comes in.
I didn't expect it. An extra dividend, see.
How many girl secretaries do you have?
Oh, seven.
Four? Magnificent appointments to the Supreme Court.
Good.
Well, they all end up.
Yes.